Nine, we can start discussing. Let's start talking about what the issues are. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to E249 in Parliament, Cape Town, and reality. Are there any apologies, Masubule?
Yes, ma'am. We have received apologies from the Deputy Speaker, Ms. Kubai, Dr. Mulder, and Mr.
Those are the apologies. The draft agenda is before us. It really is about touching base about the guidelines of the rules and also some key structures, e.g. the program committee. So it's not our intention to have a lengthy meeting. If that meets with your approval, can we proceed? I take that your silence means yes. Okay, minutes.
Ma'am, the minutes that we have for us today relate to the meeting that adopted these rules, and they are really self-explanatory, ma'am. And we have attached the relevant reports that came from the subcommittee of the rules committee for that meeting. So, as I say, minutes really dealt with the rules that have been adopted in the House.
Honorable Waters, you want to move for the adoption of the minutes?
No, no, Speaker, not quite. I just want to talk to the minutes, page 4.
Yeah.
The third last paragraph, where it says both Ms. Kubai and Ms. Kuda, pointed out that there were two agreements in this matter, etc. And then further states that Mr. Wolf indicated that their caucus had decided whether to support the rule or not, and the DA members walked out of the meeting at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the minutes have been sanitized to such a degree that it gives no indication as to why we walked out. We were insulted, and I raised the point by both the members mentioned in the third last paragraph. And I think it needs to be reflected there that after insults by both Honourable Kubai and Honourable Lafrida, the DA walked out. Thank you.
Okay, I think let's check the record on that matter. Yeah, okay. All right. So let's leave the minutes like this and come back to them when we check the record on the matter. Is that fine? Okay. All right. Okay, are there matters arising apart from this matter? Yes, Honorable Mezzoni.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. Honorable Speaker, it's lovely to be back in Parliament, and I hope everyone is well rested after the campaign. And welcome to a dear run municipality to everyone. It's a pleasure to welcome you all to Cape Town. Speaker, on a serious note, there is a very serious matter that's arising, and I feel that this is an appropriate time to bring it up. And it arises from our last meeting when we discussed these rules in Parliament and what happened in Parliament when these rules were discussed. Now, I think it's fair to say that when a member of Parliament has a prepared speech in which, it's myself, I'll refer to myself, not in the third person, in which I was going to stand up and thank the Rules Committee and thank the Chief Whip of the ASC as well as the Deputy Chief Whip and members of the committee for what I thought was very constructive and very useful over 300 hours of meeting. To have been insulted the way I was by the chairperson of the committee was unacceptable, to the point that the Chief Whip and the Deputy Chief Whip and Honourable Wayne Noah that I actually took out the bed sheet and I tore it up, and Honorable Frolic actually saw me do it in the house, and I had to stand up and defend what was nothing more than pure lies against myself as a character and against what I'd done in the Rules Committee. I was told that I had misbehaved, that I had not been constructive, and that I had brought across revolutionary tendencies, amongst many other things, and Speaker, you might have to go and consult the heads on. And that is specifically why I then had to bring up and come up and defend what I thought was a very good process. I am very pleased, Speaker, to inform you that many of your colleagues on the other side were equally as shocked, because they too had sat with me on that committee and had known what a good and cordial relationship we had and how much hard work and how much effort went into it. So to have been insulted like that, I find unacceptable at the very last minute. And I must apologise to Honourable Ndakane for one mistake. I was so gobsmacked and so shocked at the time that I kept referring to him as Honourable Ndakane. And I apologise for that, because it's Ndakane. And I pronounced his name incorrectly. But that's the kind of shock that I was in. And she, you know, it was so bad that afterwards, when Honourable Boy came outside to ask me if I would be at the Power and Privileges Committee meeting, I said to him then, which I'm going to repeat now, until such time as I receive a public apology from the chairperson of the committee for making accusations that are simply untrue, and that anyone that participated in a process that lasted us 18 months would know was pure fabrication and pure lies, we will simply not be part of the process going forward. Because if we as members of the Rules Committee and members of the Subcommittee can display that amount of bad faith and such little integrity that would stand up in the National Assembly and accuse someone of blatant lies, then how dare us as a Rules Committee expect the rest of Parliament to follow our example? And Chairperson, I stand by my statement, my party stands 100% behind me. We have every single one of the Rules Subcommittees televised and recorded, that we can actually go back, if need be, and watch every single one of them, where I would dare the chairperson to point out one time that I misbehaved, lied in any way, or did anything to hamper the production and a good and healthy atmosphere within the committee. And to then be accused of that in the House, Madam Speaker, was unacceptable and remains unacceptable. Thank you.
I think it's regrettable that we have had to start on this note, but clearly it's also a much better practice to be honest about how one feels about whatever is happening or has happened. I'd like to propose that we ask the Chief Whip of the ANC and the Chief Whip of the opposition, of the official opposition, to assist us in dealing with this matter. Can I suggest that, Chief Whip? Is it acceptable? Thank you very much. Okay, so can we now just move to not any more matters arising? I'm not seeing any more hands on that. But rather go now to the composition of the NA Program Committee. Masulele?
Thank you, ma'am. The rules stipulate that firstly they stipulate the membership of the program committee, rule 26, and when you get paragraph 8 of the rules, of that rule, it then says a number of members are the speaker with the concurrence of the rules committee must determine. We have circulated a memo. I think all the members have got it, the proposal. Now, this memo is an adaptation of that rule. It basically deals with, it extends the rule to cover the part that speaker is supposed to determine it with the concurrence of the Rules Committee. So the rule would go from A up to G before you get to the bracket. And that's the composition as contained in the rule, in Rule 206. A up to G. And then the number that the speaker is supposed to determine starts from the bracket there, which means two other members of that party, which is two other members of ANC, then H, Chief Whip of the largest opposition party, and two members of that party, I, two members of the Second Largest Opposition Party, and one member each of the other parties represented in the Assembly. That is the requirement of the rule, that all the parties represented in the NEA should be represented in the NAPC. So that's the proposal being put before this meeting today, that this be the composition of the program committee. It's important, honorable members, to state that the program committee will now take decisions by consensus, so there is no voting in the program committee. So the issue of proportionality does not really arise. So that is the proposal being put before this meeting today.
Is there any issue on that proposal? Is that fine? Thank you. And then we move. Yes, what's the question?
There is nothing necessarily in relation to the proposal before us. But how would this proposal differ from what used to be the programming committee?
There have been two dispensations that I can recall immediately. There was a dispensation before the Mazibuko case on the motion of no confidence, where the program committee took decisions by consensus, and there was no issue of proportion in terms of the proportionality of parties. But following that judgment, there was a need to enable a deadlock-breaking mechanism for the program committee to be able to take decisions when it came to. So the composition of the program committee was then drafted, and you had 14 members of the program committee, with the ANC having a majority in that composition. So this rule is basically going to what was before, where the composition was like this, and the program committee took decisions by consensus. But what also this rule is doing, it then creates a deadlock-breaking mechanism that in the event that there is no agreement about the program, or there is no detailed program, the speaker, the leader of government business, and the chief whip of majority party will then meet and then try to break that deadlock and then inform the other parties. I hope this that helps.
So that's the list of the people that would be in the rules committee and basically encouraging consensus. We now move to item 6 of consideration of guidelines and determinations emanating from the revised rules. Can you take us through them, Masuwe?
Ma'am, we have circulated this document, guidelines and determinations, which has been split into about 4 parts of the statement, 5 parts. Members will recall that at various points during the consideration of the revised rules, some of these guidelines would have served before the subcommittee and at certain points before the rules committee itself. So some of them would have been discussed, but others were not discussed in detail. But I think what's important the point that is important to make is that at the time there was no empowering provision for the rules committee to develop these guidelines. So once the rules were adopted by the House, then there was an empowering provision for the rules committee to decide these guidelines, and hence we indicated it as confirmation of the guidelines. What we are proposing for this meeting is perhaps that we consider only part A of the document. Now why do we propose this? It is to enable this committee adequate opportunity to apply itself to all the guidelines before they are adopted. Now, the guidelines in Part A are really meant to enable the House to function. Without these guidelines in Part A, the House will not be able to function. You can't have motions without notice because you need guidelines for that. You can't have draft resolutions and a whole range of other things. So the guidelines in Part 8 are meant to enable the House when it needs next week to function going forward. And then the guidelines in B, for instance, deals with the guidelines for removal of a speaker, deputy speaker, appointment of whips. And then in C, guidelines around questions, format of questions, and what have you. And the guidelines in D deals with guidelines for programming or committee meetings. And then the guidelines in E deals with the issue of manual voting and electronic voting. So our proposal is that today the Rules Committee considers the guidelines in A, and that subcommittee might want to have a look, to take a look at some of the other guidelines before they are confirmed by the Rules Committee at subsequent meetings. Remember, that is our proposal. I can go through them if we agree on that principle.
Now, remember, can we go through the guidelines now in Part A, just so we, you know, can be able to function next week?
Then on draft resolution, it deals with both draft resolutions and a subject for discussion. That is the guideline, Article 7 from Rule 124. And it says that the draft resolution must comply with the criteria and other requirements stipulated in the rules. So there's not much there that is different. Nothing is different from what we did before. And then point number two, it deals with motions of condolence, the circumstances under which the House would debate a motion, and where the House, members of the House would observe a moment of silence. That those are the guidelines on motions for motions of condolence. That's point two. Then point four, which was meant to be point three, our approaches. These are the guidelines for motions of no confidence in the President and the Cabinet. They are in terms of the Rule 129. They are the same as those of other motions. And then, Chapter 6, the Rules Committee to determine time allocation per party for declarations of vote in line with the principle of proportionality, that's what Rule 3. And here, the proposal which served before the committee was that the AAC would then have 6 minutes, the DA 4 minutes, the EFF 2 minutes, and all the other parties 45 seconds. There was an option, which I need to state, which said maybe instead of 45 minutes, we'd have 1 minute. So this committee would, I think, should express itself on that and decide on appropriateness of those time allocations. And then Chapter 7, motions without notice. The rules now provide that the Rules Committee must determine the number and the time allocation and sequence of motions without notice. Furthermore, it requires that minority parties be given an opportunity to participate in a manner consistent with democracy. This proposal is basically in line with the current practice on member statements. And it's a proposal that we're putting before this meeting. You could take this option, that you follow this sequence that you follow for member statements, for motions without notice. And then for member statements, we recommend that the current practice be retained, as been practiced since the Parliament. And for executive statements, Rule 1335, we've basically retained the current practice again, where you have AAC with 12 minutes, DA 8 minutes, FF 4, and all the other parties 3 minutes. What is important, what I need to highlight here, is that in terms of the revised rules, a member of the executive making an executive statement has an opportunity to reply to the statement now. It was not the case before. And again, on Chapter 12, the review of rules of the Assembly Committee, this retains the current arrangement, where you have 8 members all in all. It's not in terms of proportions. And then Chapter 3, Rule 39, this is about the absence of members from committee meetings. The rules require that the amount be determined by the Rules Committee. A fine of R1,000 for each day of absence, if a member is absent for 3 or more days consecutively. And then the rules require that the committee be identified. We should consider appeals in relation to sanctions for non-attendance. And the recommendation is that the disciplinary committee, which has been established by the rules, in that committee. Madam Speaker, those are the proposals.
Thanks, Masulele. Can we look at the guidelines and maybe I'll go page by page to see whether there's anything on page 1? Page 2? Yes, madam.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Just strategy, on chapter 7, motions without notice. If Mr. Trossel can just elaborate a little further on the way it is in fact formulated here. If we look at paragraph A, it's clear what it meant, and then paragraph B, with respect to the motions without notice, the number of motions without notice, and the time allocated to that is followed the same sequence used for member statements. The sequence is followed, that's fine, one. But then when we get to the block, can we perhaps just have an explanation? I note that the between brackets, the NFP, it has 6 members. Is that what it is?
The NFP has 6 members, UDM 4 members. So in that group, we have 14 members.
Okay. And now if we look at the next one, group 2, there is an error as far as scope is concerned. And I just thought it would be important for us to just correct the numbers so as to reflect the current reality.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Thanks for... Yes. Yes, no, indeed. Sure. Now, that's it. Yes.
Speaker, just on chapter 7, will the, that's to refresh my memory, because we've all been away for a while, so maybe, you know, I'm on the wrong road here, but we had to submit motions out of notice before 12 noon, and they had to adhere to certain criteria. That's still the case. And, okay. But, and then secondly, as we go through the rotation, we go through the first, let's say in group 1, the NFP doesn't have a motion out of notice, it's UDM. I mean, so they will then simply just take the first group 1 slot. Is that how it will work? Or, I mean, practically, I mean, or will they forfeit it? How is it work practically? And then I take it that the other issue that the subcommittee has to deal with is exactly how many motions without notice you're going to allow on a particular day, or the time allocation. Because let's say all the parties participate in this process. If you're the BAC, we should have an opportunity to congratulate someone or give condolences. I mean, but it's going to take a long time before you actually get to the PAC slot, if you know what I mean, on the roster. So, you know, if you can just get through those practicalities. Thanks.
The current practice with regard to member statements, because this is it's basically a replica of what you have in member statements, is that If we say the IFP did not take its slot, the sequence will continue, and then the ANC will have the first opportunity to take the IFP slot. If the ANC did not have statement, then the next party, the DA, will have that opportunity. So that is the sequence as things stand at the moment with member statements. So this meeting has to decide if that practice has to apply to motions of notice as well. And number 2, if this sequence is followed as is, it means that you would have 15 motions of notice on a particular day. 15 motions of notice, and then we'll have to, and the motions of notice, I think, is about 90 minutes. 90 seconds, sorry. 90 seconds, 1.5 minutes. So that is really what is at the moment. So making us decide, one, is the sequence appropriate? In the 4 parliaments, I might just add, you have your motion of notice had reached 5, but we know that's changed in the 5th parliament. You would have 10 motions of notice, or even 20, or even 25. So we have the committee has to decide if this number is enough and the flow. The groups themselves decide who should get the opportunity to make a statement. Or if you're saying this instance, they will decide who should get the opportunity to make to give a motion without notice on a particular day.
Honorable Chukwu.
We obviously have new rules, and what is important in our consideration is whether we recognize the proportionality that was brought into the House by the voters. And these regulations do recognize the proportionality. But having said that, indeed, as a rules committee, we can give a nod to these guidelines so that we start the ball to roll. Because without any guidelines, and as we go through sittings and we have new rules, we will not have a mechanism of dealing with the matters before us. But I'm saying this so that if indeed there is a need for us, after we have seen the practicality of these guidelines, if there is a need for the rules committee to come back and say, perhaps this is where we can tweak, this is where we can tweak, after we have seen the applications of these guidelines, this is what I will then propose to the rules committee, that let's give these guidelines time to see whether they work in practice. Then take it from there.
Honorable Waters.
Speaker, sir, I just want to confirm what you're saying here in the Chapter 7 is that there'll only be one round for motions without notice on any given sitting day. I think we've raised this before, so I'm not going to open the debate up again, but it does penalize smaller parties, and I understand the proportionality part, but this motion of notice is condolence. If we implement the rules properly, right, it should just be for condolences and for congratulating the clearing team from Ukraine or something. So we should be more flexible in allowing smaller parties to be able to express condolences or congratulations on any given day. I really do think we need to look at that. It's not a political motion. Yeah. That's, I understand with the other motions, but this is non-political. And I really do think we're penalizing the smaller parties.
So what Honorable Waters is suggesting, if I understand correctly, is that he wants us to just look at the section on motions, on condolence motions. That we make an exception and that we could rush, but would that not be acceptable for the DA, that we adopt it as it is so that we can come back with possibly an additional provision to in fact adjust for condolence motions to make more flexible specifically for the type of motion? Would that be in order for us? Sounds to me like it would make a lot of sense.
Ms. Waters asked about the submission of motions without notice. I would like to just point members to Rule 123, Sub Rule D. Sub Rule D, because the times have changed, the times for submission of motions and things. So it says now the member of members but must take the text of the motion, or basically must email it, before 10 o'clock on the day in which it is to be moved. And if the proposed motion complies, the secretary must circulate to all parties by 11 a.m. So only those are complying with the guidelines. And then there's 4.4 of this. At least 5 parties, including the majority party, and the largest minority party must have notified the Secretary to the NAA at 30 minutes before the sitting of the House commences that they have no objection to the motion being moved without notice. Yeah. So I thought I would just point out those new provisions in the rule.
Okay. So, honorable members, we agree that we should be looking at a different rule to provide for the smaller parties and address the issue that has been raised by honorable Water, but that otherwise we agree on the guidelines. Okay, let's go on until we get to part B, because I don't want us to go past that, but I just want to make sure that we have looked at all pages.
My apologies. I just want to get guidance from the committee. So if a party does not utilize their opportunity, obviously they forfeit it. Does it then go to the next party, like as we do member statements, ANC, then DA? Is that what we are in the committee looking on?
As he has not.
That's what we understood.
Okay. Page 4. Yes, we are on chapter 9, which continues on page 4.
Chairperson, I'll just ask you, the same mistake occurs on page 2 as far as the reference. The total is correct and in that little block. But again, we must just adjust the number of members.
Right, on the group matter. Page 4. The relative statements. Chapter 12. Page 5.
So, Speaker, your pages are differently numbered.
Ah, okay. Now you catch me out, eh? Okay. Actually, what should we say? Have you looked at the executive statements and were fine with that? Chapter 12, determinations, composition of subcommittee on review of assembly rules. We are fine with that. That the subcommittee will consist of 8 members allocated as follows: ANC 3, DA 2, EFF 1. Other parties too. Agreed? Chapter 3. Which one?
One of the five.
Well, good question. Do you agree on the fine? Okay. The committee to hear appeals relating to sanctions for non-attendance should be the same. It's the disciplinary committee. Okay. Sorry. That's the end of the part A in terms of the guidelines we have agreed to get today. Mr. Waters?
Speaker, if I may get clarity on a matter to do with motions, etc., and it's to do with Rule 47, which is in the books. Just for clarity while we're here, page 53. Sub-Rule 2 of Rule 47, where it says, subject to Sub-Rule 1, and unless altered by resolution of the House, the business on any sitting day of the House may additionally include any event below. May. So it's not a standard. And that is motions without notice, opportunity for statements by members, and responses to cabinet ministers, and notice of motions and petitions. So, as the rules used to stand, every Tuesday and Thursday, we would have motions without notice, the matter of course, and ordinary motions. Now it's saying it may be included, it may not be. Okay. Am I reading that correct? And was that the intention of the Rules Committee? Because I don't think it was. My understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, was that we would have motions without notice and notice of motions on the order paper on the ordinary sitting desk or question desk.
The members of the subcommittee may also speak to this, but this is the rule that went to the House. So the program committee will have to decide when to schedule motions of notice and notices of motion for. And that's really what I can say on this.
Yes. Speaker, I remember that in subcommittee, one of the reasons that the programming committee was designed the way it was, that it would be done by consensus, was for example in a situation like this, it would be the programming committee then by consensus decided that, for example, Tuesday and Thursday we would have notices of the motion and et cetera, et cetera. And that's also one of the reasons that the programming committee was extended to include all political parties so that everyone would have an opportunity to ask consensus. So it wouldn't be a situation of the ANC being able to use a majority if they just felt like not having motions on a day, because the programming committee would decide by consensus. And because all the parties are represented there and the ANC has a limited number of representation themselves, if by consensus it was decided that we would have motions every day, then that would be the democratic feeling of the House and then so it would be taken forward. So I think from the subcommittee side, that was one of the specific reasons we agreed that the programming committee must be done by consensus for a situation such as Rule 47, sub-rule 2.
Okay. Injan. Honorable voters, that's what was agreed. So that brings us to the end of the guidelines as agreed to be discussed today. And therefore, that takes us to item 7. But first, what do you want, Mapule? Yeah, go on.
Madam Speaker, we have 9 full members of the Rules Committee. There are 4 members who are not the official members of the Rules Committee in attendance. We need 10 members to take decisions. So what could happen is for a member to be co-opted, Honorable Mpumlwana, for instance, Honorable Masonga, they are not the appointed members of this Rules Committee. So they may be co-opted. That is the case, that's what the meeting desires, so that the committee can take decisions.
Then let's just explain, we fully agree with the assertion made by Robert Kass. But of course, we also understand that we have since changed what used to be a rules committee. And restructured it in the manner we have restructured. And the restructuring officially took place yesterday. And a number of members were also informed yesterday of particularly of this meeting. So that's why even members who might have been restructured out of the then rules committee are here in this meeting. But we would like to formally propose that we co-opt Honorable Masondo for the purpose of this meeting, so that then we are able to take the necessary decisions and take them.
Would anybody object to that proposal? No objection. Honorable Masondo, therefore, is co-opted as a member of this Rules Committee for purposes of this afternoon. And therefore, K.
can we have a motion for the actual official agreement on the decision was taken this afternoon, now that we have a quorum? Honorable Mtakana.
Honorable Speaker, I move for adoption of the decision as taken by the meeting.
Honorable Boy.
I want to second.
Okay. Is there any objection to the motion? There's no objection. So this decision, the decisions were made this afternoon, are formal and are so recorded. The next meeting will be Masfulele.
Date will then be determined, to deal with the other parts of the guidelines. Part B to part E, I think. Yes.
Okay. So, the next meeting. Thank you very much. The meeting has been closed.